This is the Home Improvement Show on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
It is exactly 9:05, and the number to call to get your free advice is 514-790-0800. Joined once again in the studio. So nice to have company. Walter Assey from Inovco's here. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How was your drive in?
My drive was fantastic.
Yeah, roads are in great shape.
Had my large coffee. I was chilling. Sunshine.
Very nice.
Vitamin D. It's beautiful.
Yeah, it's a beautiful. It's a beautiful. We want every day now from here on in spring to be like this.
That's it.
See what you can do. Make a call.
Sure.
Walter Assey from Inovco. Years of experience when it comes to home renovation, and can answer just about anything for you, anything you throw at him. We have people lined up ready to call and ready to talk to Walter. 514-790-0800. Ron, good morning.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
I bought a Lennox heat pump and to one of your sponsors, you guys.
Okay.
And I've been using a lot of gas. Now, am I doing something wrong with thermostat? It's set at 21. Should I put it down lower or what? Because, I mean, the weather's been pretty mild.
Yeah.
I mean, my gas has tripled. So, I mean, it's cold winter, but still, it shouldn't be like that.
So repeat again, what kind of furnace is that?
Lennox.
No, but is it electric? Is it?
Well, I have a gas furnace.
Okay.
And a Lennox heat pump. I just bought it, $10,000 I paid for last year.
Okay, repeat again. You have a Lennox
heat pump.
A heat pump and?
And a gas furnace.
Okay, but what's the gas furnace?
Well, it's from GasMet. I can't tell you. I don't know the name.
Okay. So there's a couple of things that we can check with that. If it's more than usual that you're spending, the first thing you want to see if your heat pump is kicking in or not.
It hasn't kicked in for basically a month.
Okay. So that's not right. That means there's something wrong with your heat pump.
Yeah. Well, exactly. And like I had a one-year guarantee.
Mm-hmm.
Which is 14 months now.
Okay.
And I don't want to have to spend a couple hundred dollars for them to come here. But on your pad there,
yeah,
you can put it down to 15 or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And it's showing 21, say, in the house now. But you put a 15, the heat pump apparently should kick in. Am I correct?
That's correct. I mean, now we are in a weather where the heat pump should be kicking in all the time.
Well, it's not. That's the problem. And I don't want to waste money. I'm retired. And I don't want to waste money. And maybe I'm doing something wrong.
Well, you're not doing anything wrong, but you are wasting money because your heat pump is not kicking in, right? So
yeah.
You're spending a lot of money on gas. It is probably cheaper for you to get a tech to take a look at it and see what's wrong and fix it for you, or else you're going to be paying it in three times the gas that you said that you're spending right now.
Yeah.
So.
Well, yeah, but, I mean, it was a colder winter. I mean, I'd say January, February,
not really.
Or whatever.
Not really. This winter was a typical winter. I
think you said it was a COVID winter.
Oh, COVID winter.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I heard colder winter.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, like put it this way. It was on like a half hour ago, so we messed around with the thermostat. And it went off. So I don't want to waste gas. I mean, it was doing it like the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, yeah.
And it you know, I know they have a thermostat inside the unit.
Mm-hmm.
Whether, you know, because it should be minus 12 or whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm seeing it minus 6, it's gas.
No, that's not definitely not normal. The other thing you want to look at is if the two are compatible. If your furnace and your sump pump and your heat pump are not compatible, that also could cause you long-term problems.
Well, okay. Well, my furnace is like a 2-in-1, 50,000 to 75,000.
Mm-hmm.
So when it goes to whatever, it'll kick in
mm-hmm.
for maybe a couple of minutes to get the heat, and then it's the furnace going on. If I said that correctly,
mm-hmm.
So this distributes the heat. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I see the gas coming on when it's like today. It's not cold, and it was on this morning.
That's definitely not normal. Definitely not normal. Your heat pump is probably something is not right. Have it checked out. And
so that means I'll have to call them, because I mean, like I said, when I was buying, shopping around, I had one for 30 years. Mm-hmm. And which is way over its due date, I guess.
Yeah.
I bought this one. I was away for 4 months. So, I mean, I didn't really see if it's working this like AC or whatever. So I just want to make sure I'm doing everything on the pad.
Yeah. Well, I mean, just as a note of caution, usually when you're changing your heat pump, do your own research of what's compatible with your furnace, especially if you're not changing them both at the same time. Because if you do have units that are not compatible, then you're going to have problems all the time. It's something that is chronic that's going to happen often.
So even if my furnace is, say, 8 years old,
it doesn't matter. It's just a question of they communicate with each other, right?
Yeah, so no,
if
no,
you
I
are
understand.
Calling... Yes.
Yeah, I understand that part. But is it possibly I'm not putting out the right thing? You have all these pads to do on it. You know, it's showing 21. I put it at 15, like at another part. It won't kick in, but it will maintain the 21.
Okay, so you're saying it might be the thermostat that is also faulty, right?
That's what could be. Okay. I'm not sure.
I'm not sure about that. It's just because, again, with the weather like this that we're having right now, usually the heat pump should be the only thing really working.
Yeah, but exactly, and I haven't heard it for about a month.
There you go. So I don't think necessarily it's a thermostat, but you could have that checked at the same time. Anyways, it's the same technician.
Yeah, so it'd be an added cost because, unfortunately, I only had a year on them servicing it.
Yeah.
And 10 years on parts.
Sounds like you're going to have to get someone in, Ron.
Oh, okay. Thanks for the help, guys.
All right. Good luck with
that. Have a good day, Mike.
You too. It's 912 with Walter Assey. Ken Connors, a home improvement show at 514-790-0800. We might have to split this one in two, but we'll start with Kenneth. Kenneth, hi. You're out in Lachine, right?
Yes, sir. I phoned the other day, last week there. If a person has the need for a railing and they're using hot dip galvanized uni-strut channel or galvanized hot dip pipe, can these very strong 8X construction adhesives bind to it, or do I have to grind away the zinc coating there, the galvanized coating, to get to the bare metal?
That's to paint it, right?
Well, it's not painted. It's hot. They say hot dipped.
Okay. No, but you want to paint it? Is that what you want to do? Why you want to?
No, I want to weld something together, like two uni strut or make a railing with galvanized pipe and bind them together.
Okay.
Do I have to grind away the zinc coating if I want to use these very strong metal adhesives, or can I just put it on the galvanized and it'll stick together? Like, if it's one unit, or do I have to grind it off?
Well, if we use the basic concept for everything, it's better off that you start with a very clean surface that adheres well. So if you're using adhesives, anytime you have any type of paint, at least make it rough in order for it to adhere properly. If any surface that is smooth, usually we don't have, you're going to have issues with adhesion. And that applies to really any type of material. That's why usually even when it comes to any flat surface that have a paint, if you don't want to sand it down, at least make it like, put something abrasive on it, so make it like a rough type of a surface. So you're better off grinding it down in order to have a better adhesion for sure.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Hussey. Thank you. Bye.
Thanks for the call, Kenneth. Appreciate that. Look at that. It's 915 514 790-0800 is the number to call to get on the air and ask your question here on the Home Improvement Show. John, we'll get to you in just a second. Again, 514.
Whether you're handy or all thumbs, you're listening to the Home Improvement Show on CJAD 800.
Yes to the second question. Thank you, Your Honor. 922. Good morning. It's Ken along with Walter from Renovco answering your calls at 514-790-0800 on this beautiful Saturday morning. John, are you still there?
Yes, I am.
Good morning. And you have a couple of things you want to say about Ron out in Pierrefonds who had problems with his heat pump.
Yeah, so the guy who services my unit has me clean the outdoor unit 3 times a year. So I do it in August, April, and July. You take a dilute solution of soap and water, and you spray it on the unit, you know, where the wavy elements are, that's the heat exchanger part.
Right.
And you let that soak in, and then you wash it off very gently. Do not use the hose sprayer. Take it off the end of the hose so the end of the hose is open, and just hold it over the grill and clean out the any gunk that's accumulated. And he might have to do that if it's really dirty. You might have to do it several times right now, but it could make a difference, and I don't think it will hurt to try.
What do you think?
That could work. I mean, usually when you have that issue, though, you see some type of, especially in the winter, ice buildup on the machine. You could definitely try that. Doesn't hurt. I'm not really sure that that's going to be the issue, but maintenance definitely does not hurt.
You're saying you're doing it 3 times a year?
Yes, I do it at just before the heating season starts and now, and then once in the middle of the summer because I air condition as well.
Like preventive maintenance, I'm all for it. That's a great idea to do on any machine for that matter. The filters as well, to change the filters every turn of season, like four times a year minimum. That helps tremendously in the efficiency of the machine and so on and so forth.
Yes, my thermostat tells me to do that. I have it set for 1,600 hours or something like that.
Oh, cool. You get the notification.
That's actually smart because most people do forget. I mean, sometimes they do skip a season and then all of a sudden they lose all kind of efficiency in this. So there's so many different answers to this problem, unfortunately, that there's not one right answer. Just at one point, if someone is spending 3 times the amount for gas, that's something that's really not right going on.
John, I appreciate the call and the advice.
You're welcome.
All right.
Bye.
Bye now. That frees up a line at 514-790-0800. Brent, hello in DDO. How are you?
Good morning, gentlemen. How's it going?
I'm very good. Tell me, you've got a project. You're building what kind of a house?
So I'm building an ICF house. And basically my question is, I know when you're pouring the cement into those blocks, normally they vibrate the cement. However, the person who's building my house is saying that they don't need to do that because they add some kind of additive to the cement that makes it more liquidy. And that just gives me a little bit of concern that I may have problems in the future.
Okay, so, I mean, the product itself is great. The ICF homes are, it's really a smart way of building. I'm a bit nervous about the fact that they're not vibrating the cement, and I'm a bit more nervous about any additives in cement. Usually what I like to do in projects when you are building, I like the architect or the engineer to spec the type of concrete to be poured as part of your plan, and you make sure that your contractor is adhering to these specs. Because if not, they might add calcium, they might add all kind of things that you know can cause you issues in the future. So you are typically right about that. The most importantly, if you can ask for what is the type of cement they're pouring and get the specs on that, and then show it to your architect and get him to approve it, then you're okay. But anything that is not done to what the industry standards are, you should be worried about. Because the fact that he said the word additive without naming it, already there's red flags there.
I mean, he may have named it. I just may not remember. But I will look into that.
Yeah, if you would look into that, if you don't mind, and then if you want to call us back and tell us what your findings are, because there's a million additives that we can look at, and, you know, not all of them are great, right?
For sure. All right. Well, thank you very much.
I appreciate
you're welcome.
Good luck with that, Brent.
I mean, Ken, and that's another thing that we just, maybe it's worth it to mention, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
There are a lot of tricks in construction to speed up the process. of drying or to speed up the process of the work itself. Not every trick is great. Okay, so whenever your contractor tells you that I want to do this to make something dry faster, just make your own research first.
That's a flag.
It's not a question of a flag. Sometimes the trick is okay, but it just, you know, sometimes it's just, you know, you don't want to rush it that much, and, you know, one extra day is not going to kill anybody, right? So,
good advice. All right. One quick one from the text line before we break for news.
Go ahead.
It says, good morning, guys. Hang on, I just lost it here. Stand by. It's from Pat. Are there companies that can change the Arborite on a kitchen sink counter? Is there some paint or applied finish that can be used?
On Arborite?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, so Arborite is not particularly a very expensive material to begin with. You can just change the Arborite itself, because the problem with Arborite is underneath it is all the presswood. So when it gets to be damaged and rotted, there's not much to do to it as a product. You could buy the actual sheet of Arborite if you want, which would they sell in the stores, and unpeel the old one and stick the new one in. It's a lot of labor. It doesn't usually work very, very well all the time because of the fact that there's a glue on the presswood. He's better off, if it's a small area specifically, just to buy the piece of Arborite, even from hardware stores, cut it and then edge it and then, you know, change it. It's not an expensive material to do, and it's a much faster process and a cleaner process as well.
All right, very good. The text line, by the way, is 514-800. I'm going to throw one quick one out here at you. I lost it. Sorry about that.
He's meaning the caller, the text, not himself.
The text line jumps sometimes. Hang on. My fault. I'll get it. For that texter, I apologize. I'll get it. It's 9:28. We're going to take a break right here and then come back with more on the Home Improvement Show.
You're listening to the Home Improvement Show on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
We have Walter Assey from Inovco here offering you one full hour of free advice. So if you have questions, call now at 514-790-0800. Text line is 514-800. Good morning, guys. I have one question, please. On average, how long does an electric furnace last? I have a central AC unit that's 15 years old. I want to replace it before it breaks down. And my husband is wondering if it's wise to also replace the furnace.
Mm-hmm. If they're both the same age and you're replacing one, it's always wise to replace the other. Again, for compatibility reasons, for the technological advancements on one machine and the other, again, we're saying they communicate with each other. It depends how old the furnace is as well. I mean, if it's, there's the old saying, if it's not broken, don't fix it. But if the furnace is 15 years old and it's fairly efficient, then there's no reason for you to change it. The heat pump, usually the compressor is guaranteed for 5 years. And it starts giving you problems on average 7 to 8 years into its lifetime. So, you know, sometimes repairing it suffices. You don't need to replace the whole unit, but you might have to change that compressor every now and then. But it's all a question of efficiency as well. If you see that it's spending, a lot of energy, if you see that it's noisy, then there is a discussion to be had that, you know, because obviously the newer furnaces are way more efficient. The newer heat pumps, some in the market are amazing. They actually work until up to minus 30. Mm. Okay. So there's very important savings there as well. And then obviously there's a lot of bells and whistles that you would have to look at the same time, like the heat recovery system that you might need to install. It's a good time to look at all of these things at the same time. And you know, you don't want to do it. You don't want to kind of piecemeal it. It will cost you probably cheaper to do it all at the same time. Mm-hmm. And you will just kind of eliminate that part of the project altogether. So when you're doing something like that, you want to look at all of these components at the same time: the air exchanger, the heat recovery system, if you have, or whatever you have, the heat pump, the furnace, the humidifier on the furnace. So it's not just, you know, two components; it's the whole system. So you can ensure that whatever you're updating it to, it's all working nicely together, and, you know, Again, in between an air exchange and a heat recovery system, there's also important savings in in those decisions that you make. So it's not an easy question to answer as do I need to change it because of all of these things that we just talked about. But typically, if it's, let's say, about 15 years old and it's fairly efficient, then it can probably run you another 10 years with no issues.
All right. 514-790-0800 is the number to call if you want to get some free advice. So Walter's here till 10 o'clock. It's the Home Improvement Show on CJAD 800. Another one. Good morning, Ken and Walter. Have you ever heard of painting your outside house bricks? What type of bricks can be painted? What prep needs to be done on the bricks? That's from Mary.
We hear about painting bricks all the time, especially when the colors are ugly on the bricks. But the issue with painting bricks is that you're also painting the mortar with it, which is not really a very smart thing to do. Because again, you need your wall behind it to breathe. You need when you are painting anything, you're sealing it in place, so all this humidity is trapped. And then you will see issues with the mortar. You'll see bulging in the bricks. And you will see longer-term issues. So it's not really recommended to paint bricks, per se. But if you absolutely need to do it and have to do it, it's all in the preparation. Okay. And again, I'm not advising for it to be done, but it is. It gets done very common. But, you know, usually it's not a problem the first couple of years, but then a few years down the line, you start seeing the after effect. Clean the surface, decrease the surface, maybe with a TSP product. Make sure it's really like cleaned up and there's no any residue. If you used like pollution and dust and all of these things before you painted, trisodium phosphate works nicely. Make sure it's nice and dry, and wait for good weather. Usually above 12 degrees Celsius will be the optimal weather, and that's when you want to do it.
Walter, I don't know if you saw the front page of the Journal de Montréal, luxury homes. The sales have been skyrocketing. There's been a record number of sales in the province for homes north of $4 million.
Wow. That's crazy.
Let's go back to the phone at 514-790-0800. Razzie, hi, is that you?
Yeah, it's me.
Hi, where are you calling from this morning?
Actually, on my way to attend a wedding, but I had a question.
Yeah.
Because I'm interested in something. I have my friend's steps I want to redo this summer, and I was debating between going with concrete or pavé. What are the pros and cons? What should I go for? What should I be looking for? Just wanted to know, like, which direction should I be heading in?
Okay. It's a big difference between the two, depending on many factors. How many stairs do you have? How many steps, I should say?
Steps, we have about four to five.
Okay. And right now, what do you have? Concrete?
Right now is wood. Wood.
Okay. The issue with pavé, I mean, it's great and everything, is that the preparation have to be right. If it's not right, you're going to have issues in the future. So if you have someone that's going to prepare it right, compact it right, you're good. The cement will probably be, if it's well done, again, because if it's not well done, it will cause you issues. Mm-hmm. But cement will typically be more maintenance-free if it's done right. It doesn't move. It's poured in place and usually you don't have to worry about it for years and years and years. But then there's also the question of the look. Depending on, you know, if you're introducing pavé to your house, are you making a whole design on the pavé, on the hallway, on the walkway, I should say, and on the driveway? So it have to mix it from a design perspective and what really suits your house. You can tell through the curb appeal of the house. I can't really help you without seeing it. So there's a question of the design. But as far as practicality, if you wish, pavé uni will more likely cause you to have a bit more maintenance. You would have to add the polymer sand once a year, and so on and so forth. So this is really where you have to kind of calculate your thing. And then there's the costing. Probably concrete might cost you a bit more, though, depending on, you know, if you want to have the bullnose steps and so on and so forth.
The only thing was that the concrete, I thought that it would crack a lot because I see concrete cracking everywhere in Quebec.
Yeah.
So that's what I was worried about, the cracking of the concrete.
If you get government contractors, then yes. But but if you don't, then you should be okay. And again, it's use the right contractor, use the right cement. And if you do, you don't have that problem. Every product is going to have its own issues. Concrete, when it's well done and it's new, like obviously if you're demolishing everything and starting from scratch, you shouldn't have that issue for a long time. But so will you have with pave. Pave is more likely to give you maintenance issues. I'm not thinking, talking about big issues, but just the fact that you would have to, again, you know, make sure that you're maintaining it on a regular basis.
Right. Razzie, where's the wedding?
Mobile.
Oh, very nice. Very nice.
I give a shout out. I gotta give a shout out to Amit. Amit Patel is getting married today, so I'm on my way there.
Very good.
Congratulations, Amit.
Yeah. Razzie, yeah. How much is in the envelope?
I can't tell you right now, but he'll know soon.
Yeah, he probably wrote him a note. Don't do it.
Razzie, drive safe. Enjoy yourself.
This is the Home Improvement Show. On News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
And it is Walter Assey from Inovco. Good enough to spend the hour with us and answer your calls, like this one here from Lees out in Beaconsfield. How are you, Lees?
I'm good. How are you guys?
I'm good. The sun's out. We're in a great mood.
Yes, absolutely.
All right.
I'm calling. I live in a split-level home, and we have a heat pump. And 2 years ago, we changed the siding on our house and added insulation because our home in the winter on the upper level is extremely cold. In the summer, it's extremely hot. And we've had people in to look at our duct system, and everything's fine. We, you know, change the flow of the vents depending on the season. Nothing seems to help. And our exterior walls are absolutely freezing in the winter.
Yeah. So you're asking why are they freezing? Is that what it is?
Well, I'm trying to figure out how to solve this issue because it's not comfortable in the summer or winter being in the top level of the house, which has 3 bedrooms.
How old is your home?
It was built in 79.
79. Okay. So have you ever done any renovations in other areas of the home by which you had the insulation exposed?
No.
Okay. So one of the things you need to maybe look at is the type of insulation that you have. Typically in the 70s, they used to use the fiberglass with a paper backing, meaning
right.
that you don't have an adequate vapor barrier, okay? Especially
yeah.
that this type of insulation, you 1979, you had 2x4 division construction, so you probably have, if you're lucky, R12 on your walls.
Okay.
With no adequate vapor barrier, and that will, with time, what happens is that it loses the R value because when it gets moist, when it gets humid, when it gets wet, you have those pockets of thermal conductivity. And that will start, you know, being magnified as the years go by.
Okay.
So my advice is, year after year, I mean, there's many things you could do, but year after year, as you're renovating spaces, you know, upgrade your insulation in the exterior walls. Now, if you want to really know what the real story is, it's very simple. You choose a cold day and you have a thermal imaging inspection, a thermal imaging camera, which will give you, number one, the temperature that you have in your exterior walls, and it will actually show you all these pockets of you know, cold air or pockets of dampness that is in the insulation, and you will understand really what's happening.
Okay.
So that's one way of like saying for sure this is my problem. It's 100% the issue, and to solve it, I mean, room by room, or you want to do it all at the same time, so be it. But usually, when you renovate a bathroom, you want to put the proper insulation, and you, my real advice to you, because you have a 2x4 division, do not go back with the fiberglass insulation. Use urethane, because with urethane we can get a lot more R value in the space that we have. Plus, it seals in place. Plus, it does not get affected by humidity or water or dampness like fiberglass wood. Yes, okay. It is more expensive at the get-go, but long-term, the results are phenomenal.
Oh, okay. Perfect. Okay. Yeah, who does the thermal imaging?
There are thermal imaging companies. So if you just Google thermal imaging, I know there's a company called MultiPro. They do thermal imaging, and that's all what they do, and they can give you a report on their findings.
MultiPro?
MultiPro. Yeah. But again, if you go and just Google thermal imaging, you're going to have a whole bunch of companies. And, you know, if you're just doing it for, you don't have to do it for the whole house. You could do it for just for a couple of walls to have an idea. It shouldn't be very, very, very expensive.
All right.
How's Perfect. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Lise. Have a good weekend.
You too.
Bye now. We're going to sneak in Anna in Villeray. Anna, you've got a problem with that toilet in the basement.
Yes, that's correct.
All right.
I'll tell you the story. I had the plumber come because it wasn't flushing. He checked the flapper, and he tried the toilet. It ran, and he left. And the next time I flushed the toilet, didn't flush. So I called him back. He said, have your main drain checked, you know, with the camera and all that. So I did that. He came. He said, there's no problem, no tree stumps, nothing. Everything's fine. It's good. I called back the first plumber. He said, there's nothing I can do. I just checked the flap. Okay. So I called another plumber, and he came, and he said to me, you may have to change your toilet. So I said, okay, let's change the toilet. Changed the toilet, still not flushing.
Okay.
Called him back. He said, I have to come back and recheck your flapper. I don't even know what the flapper is. I sound like I know, but that's what they told me.
Okay.
Now, what could be the problem? Okay. It's been flushing for 40 years, and now all of a sudden it's not flushing.
We got about 3 minutes left in the show. Go ahead.
Pardon me?
We have 3 minutes left in the show. I was just telling Walter.
Okay, so when you say it's not flushing, can you be a bit more specific? Is it like overflowing when you flush?
It comes up right to the top, but it doesn't come out of the toilet.
Okay. And you're sure you've made an inspection on your main drain and the guy said there's nothing?
Nothing. But Pronto Drain came and they checked it with the camera and everything, and he told me everything is fine. It's flowing very, very well.
Okay. Have you checked when you took out the toilet itself? Because I'm just trying to think right now. It's actually very curious.
Yeah. From where the toilet is.
Yes.
The other plumber checked where the drain was.
That's correct. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't understand what the problem is. It came. The problem started right away. I'm the only one that uses the toilet. I'm very careful with what I put in it, and it just doesn't want to flush.
When you pass the camera. Did the guy, because one of the things you could also do is you could try to flush the drains.
He didn't suggest that. I don't know why. I don't know anything about that.
Yeah, and that usually is not a bad thing to do preventively speaking, so we avoid avoid any long-term blockage. So maybe you should look into that because, you know, I don't really see any other reason why you should be doing that.
Should I call the same company? Would they be responsible for not having flushed the toilet when they were here? He said there was nothing there. So,
well, I mean, that's one. Or the last plumber, really. I mean, the guy that did the last job should be the guy that guarantees the job, right? So if he changed your toilet and it's still not working, well, he has to tell you what the problem is. It's just part of his guarantee, unfortunately.
I'd go back to that guy. Anna.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much.
Good luck with that.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. Bye now. 9:58. The music means it's time for us to get up and leave.
Yes, sir. Can't wait.
Then when the music stops, you grab a chair. Walter, thanks for a good hour.
My pleasure, sir.
Walter Azzi from Renovco. We're back next Saturday morning at 9 o'clock with the Home Improvement Show. Do not go anywhere. Your Saturday morning continues here on CJ AD 800 with Lisa Christensen and The Car Show. And then Kelly Albert, Montreal Eats, taking us to lunch between 11 and noon. I'm Ken Connors. Thank you, Ben. And Master Control will be back here on the air for you tomorrow morning, bright and early at 6 o'clock.